Hi, this is Eric Mann, KPFK 90.7. I'm on the phone with Kilo Nyasha, who's working on the Hugo Pinel efforts to get him out of prison. How you doing, Kilo?
I'm good, thank you. It's a pleasure to talk with you. I remember reading your book many, many years ago.
That's Comrade George?
Yes.
Yeah, well, thank you. I got out of prison in 1971, I believe. My case was... Every time I talk to serious prisoners, we're going to have another one on afterwards, Jazz Hayden. I always feel bad to say I spent a year and a half in prison, but that was long enough for me, you know. And it's really amazing that I knew so much about the San Quentin Six at the time after the set-up murder of George Jackson. And I want to be honest, I'm actually shocked that my own lack of knowledge, that I didn't realize Hugo Pinel was still in prison. It's almost beyond comprehension that 39 years later, he's in prison. Could you tell us a little bit about his background and his forthcoming parole hearing, which is critical in January? But tell the listeners something about the background of this case.
Yes. Well, first of all, Hugo Pinel came to this country with his mother from Nicaragua when he was 12. He had some problems as a youth. Just real typical delinquent problems, and then he caught an assault case when he was 19, and he actually turned himself in, but because he was so remorseful about it, it involved a woman, and he was drinking and that kind of thing. But in any case, he was revolutionized by W. L. Nolan and George Jackson and many others who were, as you know, attempting to transform the gangster mentality to a revolutionary one. And these were brothers who began studying Marx and Engels and Mao and Nkrumah and many others, and began being very political and studying African history and studying revolution, studying the Cuban Revolution. Of course, at that time, the African liberation struggles for independence were in full force. And of course, there was also the Black Panther Party movement that was raging on the outside and on the inside behind the walls. And at that time, as you may know, and I'm sure you do know, there was a war going on behind the walls. And between the predominantly white, redneck, very racist prison staff and the very segregated black, brown, and white community, the Aryan Brotherhood were very much in collusion with the prison guards at that time. And black and brown prisoners were being, but mostly black, were being targeted for murder, for beatings, for brutalities. And Hugo Pinel was a soldier. I remember when Geronimo came out, he said that Hugo Pinel, his nickname is Yogi, so I might slip and say Yogi occasionally. Mm. But Geronimo testified that he would, if he saw a guard assaulting a prisoner, he would jump to his defense even if he didn't even know the brother. So he was that kind of guy. There was this small people's army, you might say, that decided that they were going to combat the racist assaults.
Well, I think one of the things that's I'm with Kasha that's very interesting. Kilo, I'm sorry.
Kilo, yes.
Kilo, I'm sorry.
Is my last name.
Right, I'm sorry. Kilo is.
Oh, there. By the way, I should say that I was Pat Galio then, for those who don't know of my changed African name, because during the time that I actually got in to see George Jackson and began corresponding with the various political prisoners out here, I was known as Pat Galio.
Well, thanks. I mean, one of the things we'll move fairly quickly to his present dilemma and the efforts to try to get help. But I think it's so important what you said, because we're living in such a non-revolutionary, reactionary time now. It's very hard for people to understand the mass character of the Marxist and revolutionary black nationalist movements at the time
mm-hmm.
that Ugo was part of. And at the time, there was so much talk about freeing all the political prisoners. There was so much hope inside, even though things were rough behind bars. People were very hopeful that we could build a movement of, as they said, those behind bars in prison and those out of the prisons in prison.
Right.
So here he is now, the film about the Spanish Civil War, the last revolutionary. You could say he is one of the last revolutionaries from a different period.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. To be tortured so long. I mean, he hasn't had a contact visit, a phone call or anything from prison, any of the privileges that mainline prisoners get in 33 years.
Well, how does it...
He's been in Pelican Bay SHU, solitary confinement, which means it's windowless. I mean, it's a real torture chamber. And he's been there since 1990, and prior to that, Corcoran's lockup, and then prior to that, Folsom's lockup. And he's just been locked up, isolated, all these years. I mean, it's just amazing that he's sane.
Absolutely. And it's amazing you're there on the outside fighting for him, if I may say. I want to move really rapidly, actually, to what to do, and then we can come back even about some more analysis.
Sure,
because
sure.
I think it's real important to focus on.
It's very important.
Why don't you tell us the whole program of what you'd like people to do to help get this brother out of prison?
Okay. We have a website now, ugopinel.org. www.hugopinell.org. And that will give you a sample letter to the board, some quotes from Ugo, a couple of photos of him. It will give his story. I've written an article that appears in there. It was published in the San Francisco Bayview, and we've reprinted it on the website. And I'm available for additional information, and I'd be glad to give out my number. But the website should suffice, and there are contact numbers and email addresses there to get in touch with Donna Wallach, Georgia Schreiber, and myself, who are the mainstays of the website. And we are organizing as many people as we can to write letters to the board. The Board of Prison Terms, Box 7500, Crescent City, California, 95531-7500. Box 7500 is, and Crescent City is the main thing to remember, the Board of Prison Terms, and we would appreciate it very much if you would write letters in support of his release. I mean, 40 years is enough for any crime, for goodness sakes. And Ugo Pinel has not had a write-up in 25 years. He's been clean. He's just an amazing man. He's kept his family contact. I've been corresponding with him off and on since 73, more consistently since 90, and visited him about four times, maybe five. And I find him just amazing. He keeps me inspired because he's so inspiring. I mean, to be in the shape he's in at 58 years old, and what he has survived is just amazing. And you know, like, here's a quote: "I'm going to keep my mind on helping others and doing what means progress and unification of people and ideas, so that our cause is constantly and always represented." And it goes on. But he's always concerned about other people. He's just an amazing man.
Can all the information be gotten at www.ugopinel.org, including the 7500
yes,
address?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's again www.ugopinel.org. Let me ask you this. I mean, it seems very clear that here's a Latino man who identifies as black. He's bilingual. He's mm-hmm. never had a write-up. It seems very clear that...
Well, I wouldn't say never had a write-up.
I'm sorry. No, he's had...
He hasn't had any write-ups in the last 24 years.
In 24 years.
Yeah, going on 25 now.
It seems very clear that he would not be doing this time if he was not political.
Oh, absolutely not. It's obscene, the kind of time that he's doing. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, murderers have gotten out in a lot less time. And the one person who was convicted of murder in the San Quentin 6 case was Johnny Spain, and he got out in 88.
And let's be clear that he was, while he was, quote, convicted of murder, that this was during the time of the murder of George Jackson.
Yes.
So that, you know, many people felt that this was essentially, regardless of who didn't do it, a form of self-defense.
Of course. In fact, the whole war was self-defense. I mean, look at it this way, Eric. You wouldn't charge somebody with murder who just got back from the Persian Gulf. You wouldn't charge somebody with murder who came back and put him on trial if he were in Vietnam or any of the other wars that the U.S. has waged on other people. We have a right. Black people have a right to defend themselves. And from all the stories that I've heard from brothers, I mean, they couldn't walk the yard. I mean, and all they heard all day long, every day during that period of the 60s was, you know, nigger, 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 nigger. I mean, that's the way I've heard them describe it. You know, just insane kinds of mean-spirited, racist environment that was extremely dangerous. Just to be black in prison was it put you in a very dangerous situation. And these brothers, actually, they should be considered our heroes for making it safe for our brothers to and fathers and sons to walk the yard today, because you know, I mean, they dealt with what had to be dealt with. I mean, sometimes the force is the last resort, but it has to be resorted to in order for you to defend yourself from constant assault. For example, if you recall, the Fred Billingsley murder was what prompted the whole August 7th event. Fred Billingsley was tear gassed to death, beaten and brutal, and tear gassed to death in his cell in 1970. Three brothers, the George caught the Soledad brothers case behind three brothers, W.L. Nolan,
I'm sorry, but you're doing great.
But they were shot in cold blood on the yard of Soledad by a prison guard, you know, and two of them were just left to bleed to death, you see? So those things were happening.
Well, absolutely, and I want to say that I'm with Kilu Nyasha, who's been very, very wonderful to be with us today, and I think that Ugo Pinnell is very lucky to have you in his corner. I'll tell you, you're quite a fighter. Why don't we keep this conversation going? And just in a very small way, if you want to go on the web or something and get my book called Comrade George, An Investigation into the Life, Political Thought, and Assassination of George Jackson, it does cover some of this material, and I'm very deeply appreciative of you reliving my memory and getting us into the present. One last thing real quick.
Sure.
I heard he needs a job as well.
Oh, yes. I'm so glad you brought
that
up.
And he needs a job as a critical component of whether
Absolutely.
Or not he can get parole. So what I would urge is this. I work with ex-prisoners who we would go to bookstores, progressive bookstores, and go to institutions that could offer, nonprofits could offer this. So let's please be in touch with Kilu Nyasha, www.ugopinnell.org. And let's try to get this brother out of prison. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And now we're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll be joined with another ex-prisoner in this case, Jazz Hayden. And we'll be discussing the prison movement in New York, and we'll be right back.